Good morning, welcome to our worship today. Today is the first Sunday after the Epiphany Festival. It's also the baptism of our Lord Sunday. Let us begin with our invocation. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. God invites us to come into his presence and worship him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask him to forgive us. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil, and I have failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in Jesus my Savior, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Dear friends, our Heavenly Father has been merciful to us. He has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We collect our thoughts in prayer. Father in heaven, at the baptism of Jesus in the River Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son, and you anointed him with the Holy Spirit. Keep us who are baptized into Christ faithful in our calling as your children, and make us heirs with him of everlasting life. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our first lesson today is from the Old Testament for this baptism of our Lord Sunday. Isaiah chapter 43. Excuse me. The prophet reminds us that the Lord calls us by name. By inspiration, the prophet writes, "But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give men in exchange for you, and people in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." This is God's word. Our gospel lesson for today is from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 3. We'll begin reading at verse 15. We hear the baptism of our Lord. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." This is the gospel of our Lord. We turn now then to our message for today. This past week, I was able to take some time to observe human nature. Last week, actually late earlier in the week, the family had come and I took them to Bell Rock for the trail. I was never able to climb any of the rocks with the family, since after they got out of the car, I was stuck in the parking lot traffic due to an individual who decided that since there was no parking spots available, well, why not just park the car in the traffic lane and just go hiking? How rude. Or then later in the week, the people who are boarding the plane, and someone decides that they will just stand in the aisle and debate where they might put their oversized luggage. The flight attendants keep announcing, "Please step out of the way so that the 50 people standing behind you can board this plane. We need to get moving." That message was said 3 times during the time we waited. And it was not said one right after the other. And then on the flight, the attendant says, "Please stay in your seats. We're about to go through some turbulent weather. We need you to be seated." And no sooner those words are spoken when an individual, who throughout the 4-hour flight was a pain, that person immediately stood up and took his time as he rummaged through his overhead luggage. How rude, disrespectful, and uncaring. Now, what's our reaction? On the one, you could say, "Oh, take it easy, Pastor," which is true. Just relax. But you also could join my thoughts in asking, how can people do such things? And then I pulled out my Bible to continue to study the material for our sermon today, the epistle lesson. And I read, "We too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another." Oh, those words struck you right between the eyes. What Paul does here in Titus, he starts by having us take a rather painful look in the mirror of God's law, and what we see is ourselves, and it's not pretty. Maybe we don't see ourselves in the ways of the examples that I just gave to you, but don't you have to join me in saying that God must just shake his head in disgust as we sometimes go about our lives? When I think about myself first, that's deception. When unkind words come out of my mouth, that's hate. When impatience gets the best of me, that's disobedient. And when I begin to think my little sins don't count that much, that's foolishness. Today, we learn how God fosters in us a new identity, and how living with this new identity revolutionizes our lives, and not only ours, but other people's as well. Let me read the words then from Titus chapter 3. "At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life." This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. This is God's word. Do you notice that the first time I read the first verse of our text, that I left out 3 words? Those 3 words were our old identity. Paul says, "At one time, we too were foolish." Thank God that Paul uses the past tense in describing our old identity. At one time is how he puts it. At one time, I looked in the mirror and I saw a guy with a full head of hair. It's not what you or I see today. At one time, we all looked in the mirror, and Paul describes what we saw. But that's not what we see now. And even better, it's not what God sees. What God sees and what we see is our new identity. Verse 4, when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. In the Greek, this is one continuous sentence with no punctuation. Paul is like a little boy who runs to tell grandma that he's able to wear the big boy underpants now for the first time. That little kid is so excited, and so was Paul. He was so excited to speak the gospel, to tell how God had given a new identity. And four words grab our attention, all describing God. What are those words? Kindness, love, mercy, and grace. Because of God's kindness, love, mercy, and grace, he made his plan of salvation happen. As Paul describes it, first put yourself in the heavenly courtroom with God as judge. Jesus is on trial because Jesus has taken your place. That's what Jesus came to do. And as Jesus stands before God and the righteous judge, that judge sees the evidence. And what is his verdict? Remember that Jesus is taking your place. And this passage should help. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. So what's God's verdict? It's guilty. And the cross is the proof. On the cross, Jesus took God's anger. He took God's punishment. He took our guilt, our death, our hell, and Jesus took it all because he loves us. Now let's go back into that same courtroom a second time. You are on trial. And this time, Jesus does not take your place. And as you stand before God, the righteous judge, what is that righteous judge's verdict? Keep in mind what happened on the cross. God's verdict is not guilty. The moment that Jesus died, God declared us not guilty. That is justified, declared not guilty by his grace. Our old identity is sinners. The new identity is saints. Sinners go to hell. Saints go to heaven. So we read verse 7, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. And for all this to happen, someone else had to get involved. And I think you know who that someone is. It's the Holy Spirit. The Spirit's work is to take the words on paper, the words of the Scriptures, and put them in our hearts. That's what the Bible calls faith. Why do we believe that Jesus took our place and made us right with God? Because of the gift of faith. Verses 4 and 5. When the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. This pen that I'm holding is a means by which I write. It's what I use to write. And like this pen, the Holy Spirit has a means by which he brings us to faith. It's what he uses to bring us to faith. We call this the means of grace, the gospel as we hear it, as we feel it, and as we taste it. We hear it in the Bible. Faith comes from hearing. We feel it in holy baptism, the washing of rebirth and renewal. And we taste it, as we will this morning, in Holy Communion. Take, eat, take, drink. Do this for the forgiveness of sins, the remembrance of my death. The means of grace are miracles worked in us by the Holy Spirit. And through the means of grace, the Spirit takes what we were and he turns us into what we are, heirs of eternal life, people with a new identity. And now we enjoy living with that new identity. Verse 8. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. Today, it is said that so many people work from home. Well, do you know that some of America's most notorious criminals work from home? They work from small houses in any town, USA. In the government's eyes, they're no longer criminals. In fact, no record of their crimes exists. These people live with a new identity, names, birth certificates, social security numbers. Everything's new. It's all part of the witness protection program. And what's fascinating about this is that none of the people in their new lives know anything about their old life. And only a very small percentage of these people enrolled in the witness protection plan return to a life of crime. It sounds sort of like a Christian, doesn't it? It sounds like us. Faith not only changes who we are, it also changes what we do. We devote ourselves to doing what is good, to live God-pleasing, profitable lives. You know, when a business makes a profit, it makes life better for everyone in the company. Those who own the company, those who work in the company, those who have stock in the company. Living as a child of God makes life better for everyone. For ourselves, for our family, for our fellow members, for our friends, people who we work with or go to school with, even for people we do not know. What an added blessing from God this is, that we, by living our faith, can make life better for others. We truly do make a difference in our world, in other people's lives. And that's what it means to live the revolution. We make a difference. We truly make a difference in our world and in people's lives. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We pray. Dear Lord, our Maker and Preserver, we praise and thank you for all that you give us day after day. We're not worthy of all those mercies you show us. You have given us your precious word to nourish our souls, to protect us from the temptations of the devil, the world, and our own sinful nature. We thank you for those who teach and preach your saving truth at this place and everywhere. Grant them a rich measure of patience, wisdom, and love. And Heavenly Father, we pray that you shield us from every kind of danger, sudden catastrophe, terrors of crime, the pain of disease. Watch over those who travel by land, sea, and air. Keep our loved ones from whatever perils may threaten them. Lord, heal those who are sick. Cheer those who are sad. Calm those who are distressed. Comfort all who are old and infirm. Bless our land, our people, and those who hold offices of high trust. Keep our government and schools upright and strong for the advancement of good citizenship and useful vocations, that we may enjoy your gifts of peace, security, and well-being. Grant your blessing to every nation on earth. Where there are wars, may there be peace, and where there is hatred, let it be healed. Where there is poverty, danger, disaster, come with your almighty power to help and restore. We bring these requests before you in the name of our Lord. We ask you to hear us. Lord, take all that we have, our bodies, our minds, our time, our skills, our ministries, and our offerings, and use them to your glory. We give ourselves to you, Lord, that we may serve you in whatever way is pleasing in your sight. And we come to pray the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And brothers and sisters, go in peace, live in harmony with one another, and serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. God bless you, and God bless your week.